This is the day which the Lord has made. We will
rejoice and be glad. Oh, no.
There
you go. We've been gone 2 weeks. Come on, guys. I knew right when you guys sucked in your breath, it just kind of went, we will. I should hear this. Let's do it again. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will
rejoice and be glad.
All right. I love that. We have to convince ourselves sometimes that we're going to rejoice. Cough's almost gone, mostly gone, but just a little bit hanging out there. Don't feel like rejoicing today. I wrote a little note here. Got problems, troubles, illnesses. Maybe you got situations going on, whatever that means. Good. Today is for you. It's going to strengthen you. Maybe you don't have troubles, illnesses, trials, situations. Good. Today's for you. We can carry on and press on, right? The minute I said that, cough's about gone. Woo. I got some troubles. I better stick around today for the message. Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I've got some great news for you today. If you're facing trials, troubles, all those things. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Today's message is simple. Do not lose heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. And other people think that's easy for you to say. I'm sure you didn't holler it out, but you may be thinking that. Today's message is for you. Do not lose heart. If we want more in 24, we've been talking about that. Let's get more in 24. What does that mean? Whatever it means for you. I want more Jesus in 2024. I want a personal spiritual awakening for myself, for my church. We cannot lose heart. If we do, we can't expect more in 2024. We can't expect a spiritual awakening if we lose heart. I want to claim victory in Jesus. That's great. We cannot lose heart and expect to claim victory in Jesus. They don't go hand in hand. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 speaks to this, and Paul wrote this letter. It was his second letter to the church in Corinth, the Corinthian church. The first letter, he had to address some things as he established the church, and he had to address some things with them and say, hey, you guys are doing some things that are a little out of line, and by the way, some of your teachers are a little out of line. I need to bring them back in line. I need to line them up with what we want the church to teach and how we want our teachers to act and behave. And then the second letter, 2 Corinthians, well, then he had to go back and defend his first letter because they were picking on him. He had to defend his position and his authority. He had to defend his character. I'm going to weak and haven't coughed that much. I'm excited, so I must be just using those vocal cords a little extra today as I'm excited about it. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we'll start in verse 1. Let's check it out. It says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. Well, I have down to go through a few more verses, but I'm going to stop right there in verse 1. As we have this ministry... You know, last week, Josh did a good job with Ground Zero, and he was asking them, what is your calling? And I said, we've got to be careful that we don't think, you know, when he's asking what their calling is, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17-year-olds, they're thinking, oh my gosh, I got to answer this now. I don't know if I want to be a missionary or a minister. Now, what's your calling? And I said, in its very basic core, as Christians, our calling is to serve. It's to serve one another. It's to tell others about the gospel of Jesus Christ. But our basic calling as Christians is to serve one another. To serve. So this says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. I thought, man. He's acknowledging that his ministry is possible by God's mercy, and therefore states we don't lose heart. So what causes us to give up or give in or lose heart so easily as Christians. You see Christians giving up and losing heart. What, God hasn't extended His mercy to you? Maybe it's what I said before. God, would you give us some rain? Oh, not that much. Or God gives us rain. God, is that it? Could I not have more? So maybe we think, God, you didn't give me enough mercy. You see, I've served you for all these years. I've been faithful. I know your word inside and out. I deserve more mercy. God, I want more. What God should give us then is what we deserve. But He doesn't always. He does sometimes. But if you stop and think about it, He could have given you more of what you deserve. But He decided to switch that up a little bit and give you a little more mercy than most others would. And in times when others would give you no mercy. And it comes back into that recognizing God's mercy. You know, I've said a long time ago, God, why did you take my loved one? And we've got to stop and think, God said, I was going to take them a long time ago. But because of my mercy, I gave them extra time here on earth with you. And we've got to start looking and thinking at things that way. Say, oh, no matter what happens, it's God's will, not mine. Even Jesus acknowledged that in the garden. God, not my will, but your will. But if there's any way, but in the end, make sure it's your will, God, not my will. I don't want this just for me selfishly. Even Jesus taught us that. Let's move on. Verse 2. I only got to one verse so far. Good grief. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Verse 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You don't see Pastor Eric and myself up here trying to do this sneaky little playing games with the Bible. We are pretty straightforward. Most of you should know that. We're straightforward with the gospel. We made a commitment. Lord, it was 11 years ago last month as we became the leaders of Prayer of Faith. Man, we will preach the gospel. And we won't twist it and make it this own thing. And we won't glorify ourselves. It's about preaching Christ. It's about preaching the Word of God. And sometimes it's preaching things that, I don't want to hear that. And sometimes it's preaching things, I don't want to preach that. It's uncomfortable, God. Well, it's my Word. And you're my minister. So I need you to preach that Word. But we're straightforward. This says, you know, people are taking and twisting it around to their benefit or to their glory, rather than the glory of Christ. But here's what I want to get to. That's my most exciting part of the message today. And it's not really even the main point, but it's my favorite part. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet we are not crushed. We are persecuted, but we are not forsaken. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are struck down, but we are not destroyed. Always caring about in the body of the dying,
of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. Now, what do I love about that? Well, first of all, I love that it says, hey, you've got all these things coming against you, but none of that will put you out of the game. It's not going to kill you. It's not going to do these things. So why does God choose such a fragile vessel to put such an amazing treasure inside of? I don't know. Why did He choose us? We're fragile. Pastor Eric and his beautiful wife, Kish, and my wife and I went out Friday night celebrating birthdays and anniversaries. And I told Eric, I said, it's amazing when somebody scares you, startles you, almost hits you on the highway, whatever it is, what comes out of your mouth? Let me give you an example. Holy! You! Son of a! Oh my gosh, we're Christians. That's coming out of our mouth? Cindy, thank you for the whistle, by the way. I said, will you please bring the train whistle? I forgot it. But that's what happens. God, why did you choose me, this fleshy, earthen vessel, who at times has been known to... more than I should... God, why did you choose us for such a beautiful treasure? We are a fragile clay jar that He chose, each and every one of us, to put His treasure inside of. But He's reminding us of our weakness. You see, I'm not this strong earthen vessel that doesn't need God. I am weak. And I'm fragile, and I'm made of flesh. He reminds us of His strength in our weakness. He reminds us that we need the Spirit of God to fill us up daily. You see, when we fall down, we break things a lot of times because we're fragile. But we're not too fragile for Him to utilize us. Amen. One of the young ladies in our Ground Zero group Wednesday night asked after the lesson, why did God choose Moses? And I went outside to check on a car that had pulled in the parking lot, and Josh said, well, I'll answer that. And then Adam, if you have anything, I said, no, you go ahead. But then I stepped out and I came back in, and he said, and that's why. Adam, what do you think? And I said, I didn't hear a word you said, but I'll give you my answer. I don't know why God chose Moses, but I know all through His word He chooses fragile, broken pieces or people. And I thought, Eric, broken crayons still color. And He chooses us broken people to lead His church, to lead people to His name and to salvation. Why do so many prisoners or people that have had criminal backgrounds, why are they leading these different religious groups? Because they met with a God who had mercy on them. And they may have got their punishment, but they got mercy from God. He said, man, I can make you white as snow. You see, those people are broken, and here's what a lot of them don't have. Pride. Why don't they have pride? Well, they're already in prison. They're already at the bottom of the barrel. They're already whatever. Man, God, are you telling me I could just get down on my knees and call on your name and my life can be changed? Yeah. But don't think for a second that he's not talking to you guys either. Amen. Well, I'm not a criminal. Well, I haven't murdered anybody. Why did God choose Moses? I said, I'm going to think about that question all week long. And she said, this may be a stupid question. I said, that's a great question. And I said, I love questions like that. Why did he choose these people? Why? God, why'd you choose Jonah? I need you to go here. All right. And he went the other way. Why did you choose him? And then at the end, when he went the right way, he was still a little grumpy about it. Why did God choose us? But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. When we're upset and our little train whistle comes out, oh, and trust me, some train whistles are a lot louder than that. I get it. But we need to work on that. Because he said, I've got a better plan for you. Verse 13, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Now, I mentioned that a little while back in one of my messages. Oh, okay. That grace, having spread through many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Wouldn't that be great if we had an outbreak of grace being spread through many, causing thanksgiving to abound? Excuse me. To the glory of God. An outbreak of thanksgiving. God, I know I'm going through these things. God, why? Why am I going through these things? Can you not show me some grace and mercy? Oh, I did. I was going to give it to you 10 times worse, 10 times sooner, 10 times whatever, heavier. Oh. And I'm not saying look at everything and say, thank you, Lord, for, you know, putting me out of a job, whatever it is. But at times you say, God, this is an opportunity. I thank you for whatever. God, I'm looking forward to what you have for me in the future. And it comes to a point of looking at things differently. Aren't you tired of just looking at things and going, God, it's always bad. God, it's always wrong. Nothing goes right in my life. The fact that you woke up out of bed and could say nothing ever goes right in my life, everything goes wrong. You're looking at it wrong. He gave you the breath. You see, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. And I say that all the time just to remind us that we've got to be different. I love history of the Bible. Okay? And when I say that, I mean that to say it's important. But I think what's more important is the way we live our life day in and day out. How we treat one another, how we treat others, how we treat people that are different than us. How we treat our neighbor and how we treat God. Do we recognize His beauty? Do we recognize His grace and His mercy? Do we recognize His blessings in our life? Are we constantly out there? I want more. And there's nothing wrong with wanting more. I want more in 24. I'm talking about, God, is that it? I'm talking about being ungrateful, that kind of I want more. verses may cause thanksgiving to abound. How are you treating one another? And I'm talking about in your family, and I'm talking about in school, and I'm talking about your coworkers, and I'm talking about your neighbors, and I'm talking about the people in the grocery store that you don't even know. How are you treating one another? God came to this earth so that we could know Him. I don't want to jump ahead, but there's this thing in chapter 5 that I mention often. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. We're brand new. We aren't the same old person, and we shouldn't be. We may start out there, but he says, man, I've got a road I need you to follow. And it's not the road you were going down before when you met me. It's a different road. And I need you to get on it. And there's others on it. And by the way, they're trying to find a little shortcut. Grab them by the back of their clothing and say, that's not the right way. You're trying to shortcut it. Keep going here. I'm sure everybody in the world wanted to tell Moses where to go. I mean, what path to follow. Okay? I'm sure, probably so. Moses, we've been this route. I know that tree. I got a shortcut. God said, here's what I want you to do, Moses. Jesus had people following him. And then people got frustrated. And what did they do? They walked away. I'm talking about living a life full of the gospel of Jesus Christ and living a life that benefits you and others to and for the glory of God. I jumped ahead and lost my place here. Sorry. Verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. I celebrated a birthday. I'm a year older. The outward man is perishing, but the inward man, let me tell you, I am being renewed day by day. And I'm renewed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm renewed by the people that belong to Him. I'm renewed by family and friends. But the inward man is being renewed. That may be your spiritual awakening. Oh, I've been missing that inward renewal. Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. All I think when I read that is, oh, he just told me whatever I'm going through, it's no big deal. Oh, that illness. Oh, that sickness. Oh, that situation. Whatever you're going through, your problems, your troubles, it's a light affliction. Don't worry about it. Now, when people tell me, if I've got something going on, they tell me, well, that's no big deal. That doesn't make me feel too good. I'm thinking, well, it is to me. But this is Paul telling them, hey, guys, let's look at the big picture. You're looking at the here and now. But we have an eternal life that is so much better. And by the way, those problems, those troubles, those illnesses, those situations, they're not going to follow us there. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, he says it's small in comparison. We do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. We've got to keep our eyes fixed on greater things. When we have our eyes fixed down here and we're just going like this, oh God, this is bad, this is... And we're focused on these things and we can't say, I need to stop. I need to readjust my focus. I need to look up and look into Him. Oh, and by the way, I need to lean into Him. I've been leaning into my friends. And I've been telling about all the bad. Oh my goodness, did you hear about it? Oh my goodness, did you see? Oh my goodness. I don't need someone to report that to me. That's why I don't watch the news anymore. I haven't for a couple years. I see the news every now and then, but I don't watch it. It's too much for me. And you see, I have to be a place where I can keep my head up. Where I don't lose focus. Where I can focus on the things that are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporary. By the way, our light affliction is temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Paul says it again in verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart. He opened with that. He's closing with that. I'm thinking, man, if the apostles are repeating themselves, certainly Pastor Eric and I can repeat certain things in a message. Our afflictions are light. When we face them, they're light. He's taken His great treasure and entrusted it to be put inside of our earthen vessel, our fragile earthen vessel. And He knows we're weak, and He knows we're fragile, and He knows that sometimes we break. We have to protect it. We have to guard it. We have to refill it. And we have to restore it. Protect it. Guard it. Refill it. And restore it. Maybe today your vessel has cracks in it. Maybe your vessel's broken. I assure you it's not broken beyond repair. You know, I thought this was broken beyond repair. And my brother said, hey, I've got a guy that can make that like new. I had sections of it missing. I mean, I had them. They were just pulled out sections. They're restored. They're renewed. They're back in here. He said, oh, that cover, that's cracked and broken, but I can redo that. And he redid it. Just like us, it doesn't happen overnight. This took time. Carefully, page by page, pressing them. Lining them out, fixing the tears in the pages, and then lining up each page and binding them together. And God does the same with us. It's not going to happen overnight for you. It's a careful process. It's a long process. And you have to be patient. And I may have told you this before, as the guy was doing this, we also had the riots in Oklahoma City, them marching down Classen Boulevard where his shop is. guess whose shop they broke windows and doors out of. That's right, this one. And the process took longer. And why do I tell you that? In your process to be restored and renewed and refreshed and refilled, situations may happen. And it may take a little longer than you thought. Because those things come up. Do not lose heart. If your vessel, if you feel, is broken or you have cracks today and you need refilling, as we pray this morning and play and sing, as the band comes up, and how appropriate, we're going to sing, "Oh, Come to the Altar." But it's an invitation for you to come up to the altar and allow us to pray over you. And maybe it's not that. Maybe it's something else. Whatever you have, we are prayer of faith. Pastor Eric says that all the time. We're prayer of faith. I mean, can we be some praying people? Can we allow people to pray over us? Can we go pray for people? I'm uncomfortable doing that. Okay, then just silently pray. Go up there and just be with them. And pray right here in your head and right here in your heart. I don't know what words to say. That's okay. Silently be there for one another. But I invite you to allow us to pray over you, whether it's that need or not. Online, we're going to be praying for you as well. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the lesson today. Lord, I thank you for your grace and mercy that you show us. God, I thank you for choosing our fragile earthen vessels.